Welcome to the Email Design Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends in email design and development. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And today on the program, we're going to get into snippets, Office 365, new hack, and making emails more accessible. But Jason, how about we start it off with a little bit of Android investigation?
Yeah.
So one of the big things that came out recently that a lot of people are starting to notice is there's little subtle quirks and changes to Android 4.4. And one of the great questions posted on the Litmus community by Adrian, I'm just going to say M because I'm going to butcher his last name, but he asks, why is my email not centered on Android 4.4? He says, I'm not sure what's going on here. The email looks like it has some margin or padding on the left, and therefore it doesn't look centered. It looks shifted to the right, and it's cropping a small portion of the right side of the email. Does anyone have any ideas as to what's going on here? And our good friend James White actually did some amazing investigative research into the problem, better known for his Office, 365 Outlook rendering, knowledge and expertise. But he dove in, and what he found was is that Android 4.4 is actually wrapping the entire email body with a couple of small quirks. It's actually adding a variable left and right margin on the body tag inline on the styling. So the body says body style equals margin, and then it has a margin of zero for top and bottom, but then it has this variable width for the left and right. And then right after the body tag, directly after it, it's wrapping the entire email in its own separate div with a margin of 16 pixels and zero. So it's adding a top and bottom margin of 16 pixels. And then it also has the font size set at 80%. So essentially, really quick and easy hack for this to make it work is that you just need to normalize the margins. You want to put the body with a margin of zero with the important declaration. And then to target that div, really smart, actually using an attribute selector to target the inline styling. So using div with the attribute selector of style with the asterisk, so getting the universal style for that equals, and then you can put in the value of margin 16 pixels zero. And then resetting that and overwriting that with margin zero important. And then if the font size, I've actually done some testing and found font size may or may not impact it depending on what you have set up for your layout, but you could reset the font size to 100% if you wanted. But a real quick and easy hack, he used CSS debugging for his layout. So using, and I know we had gone over this, Brian Graves had posted it originally in the Litmus community, like putting all the background colors in there with the universal selector. And it was a great way. You can really see where the padding's happening. But it's really simple, really easy. You can just input that, little snippet of code into your head of the document, and you're going to remove that padding right away, which was, one of those things that you just look at it, and it might even have taken a few times to look at the email to be like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. But it was adding this weird padding. But credit to James White, who really dug into the open source repo. You could find the code on GitHub and see what was going on, and just found a simple and elegant fix for this. A quick win in email, which is rare to come by. Mm-hmm.
I love this because James, like you said, he actually dug into the Android open source code and figure out what's going on, which is awesome because a lot of times in email clients, we know there's bugs that exist, but we never really know the true causes of those bugs. So seeing somebody actually look at the code, pick apart that email function that's actually displaying the email itself and figuring out exactly what's going on is pretty awesome. We have that well-documented bug now. And more importantly, James has a quick and easy fix, like you said, and just drop it in there and you're good to go.
Yeah, and it really highlights to me the importance of just always use the important declaration when you can. Mm-hmm. I had noticed when we actually went back and looked at our emails, the body reset CSS, we had margin zero, padding zero, and a bunch of that, but we didn't have the important declaration. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of your reset declarations, you might just need to throw in an important declaration to avoid some of these quirks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. Moving on from there, some more kind of Android quirkiness. This time from Justin Koo over at Fresh Inbox, who we've obviously featured here before. But he ran into a problem with the general sibling selector. when you're using it in the Android email client. And we've actually found out too that this is a bug in iOS 9 and the updated email client there, where when you're using the general sibling selector, which allows you to select any sibling of that HTML element and apply CSS styles to it, in conjunction with a pseudo class such as hover, things don't work out very well for you, which is a problem because that's something that's used quite frequently for interactive emails. Good thing is that Justin found a fix for it, which is really weird. This fix strikes me as very, very strange and just like a weird little hacky thing of using... you essentially use an animation to fix it, but the animation doesn't do anything. So on the body of the email, you call this animation, which in his case, he calls it bug fix. And then you have a CSS keyframe animation that does essentially nothing whatsoever. And applying that fixes that for the Android client. Really, really weird. If you don't want to go that route, then you can always use a different selector, such as the adjacent selector. You could use really specific CSS targeting if you want. But that general sibling selector seems to be very flexible for people working with interactive emails. So if you're running into things in Android 4.4, iOS 9, where your interactive emails aren't working and you're using that general sibling selector in your CSS, then check out Justin's post on Fresh Inbox and use that little bug fix. What a weird little fix to me.
Yeah, it's a weird bug fix. And it's one of those things where I'm not sure if it's really worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, it can go either way. You can debate it either side. There's merits to both. I mean, it is really light on the code. You know, it could increase CPU load on the device, mm-hmm. as it mentions in the post here. And maybe it's really not the most elegant or ideal hack, mm-hmm. around it, which, you know, if it's really critical, I guess you can use it. But yeah, it might be one of those things where you just need to not include it in for these Android emails. Mm-hmm. You know, you might just have to leave it out and view it as a progressive enhancement that might not be worth it.
Yep.
And this is something that we'll get into in a future episode here on the podcast, but also seeing this behavior now in iOS 9, which, mm-hmm. is unfortunate. But yeah, it's unfortunate to see that this might be a trend now moving forward with mobile devices not sort of liking this code and this method, especially, as you said, for interactive emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Yeah, like you said, it might not be worth it. Justin made the point too that, I mean, Android's already updating to 5.0 Lollipop and what's the newest one, Marshmallow or whatever. So this bug may or may not make its way into those releases. So we'll have to wait and see. The bad news is that people on Android are a little bit slower to update their operating system as opposed to iOS users. So yeah, it depends on your use case, know your audience, and adjust accordingly.
And they're going to be pushing the Gmail app, it seems, exactly, on all, yeah, future, yep, versions on the Android device. So, mm-hmm. yeah, pick your poison, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Even with this bug, Android, headache. Sure, it's a heck of a lot better than the Gmail app. Yep. So, I mean, hey, this might not be ideal for this, but it's still better, mm-hmm. than what the alternative will be for what they're going to be promoting down the road.
Exactly. Cool. Other great news. I love this. This is one of my favorite things recently. Over in the Litmus community, we recently launched snippets, code snippets in the community, which is awesome. It's huge for people just getting started in email. It's huge for people that work with email every single day, know the ins and outs. Snippets, though, litmus.com/community/snippets. Go there. You can check out, people are posting all of their favorite code snippets. For all kinds of different things, simple image tags, call to actions, crazy VML stuff, hidden pre-header text. There's all kinds of different snippets that you can take directly out of community using your own emails. You can easily copy them to your clipboard. You can favorite them. You can add them to your builder snippets, which is awesome. We have a great integration between community snippets and your builder snippets. But this is huge. It's such a great way to see what other people are using in their code, how they're using it, and apply it to our own email campaigns, which is awesome. Kevin, you've been very active posting tons of your favorite snippets over there. Yeah, I know you loved seeing this in there, and it was a huge announcement. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is awesome. I think this is really one of the first steps towards a collaborative platform, mm-hmm. for the email design and development community. You know, I think so much of our knowledge has become siloed, and even though the industry has become a lot better in producing great content and making more of this knowledge readily available, I think for especially developers where the code changes so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things, you know, you and I had talked about, oh, how frequently are we going to be able to do this podcast? Like, is there going to be enough content? And it's hard for us to keep up because there's so much stuff that's mm-hmm. changing. And, you know, just an example for the first two things we talked about here on Android with having to make changes, specifically the first one with the sort of body and margin hack on Android 4.4 that James White found, just being able to come here, post that snippet, and then people can easily grab it and mm-hmm. import it into their own editor. As you said, there's a fantastic integration with Litmus Builder, so you can easily post to the community or import right from the community right into your builder for snippets. And it's just great. You can comment on snippets, favorite them, as you said. So basically creating a collection mm-hmm. of your favorite snippets. And I really love the search filters on this too, you know, being able to search and filter by email client. So if you want to look at something specifically for Outlook or for Gmail, you can go into a dropdown, find that, or even the different types. So maybe you're trying to find, oh, what's the best bulletproof button mm-hmm. method or approach, or what type of different table structure is going on, or media query hacks. I mean, it's really great, the search filters that are set up. And I'm just excited. It's a great way for everybody to participate, everybody to share what they're doing, and for everybody to start to stay up to date and learn from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really it's really moving towards more of a GitHub for email yeah. type of approach, which is really exciting. And I think everybody should be contributing to the community just to help everybody out. And it's really just a great resource mm-hmm. to check it out and make sure you have the latest and greatest code for your email campaigns.
Yeah, that's what I like is, yeah, like you said, it's kind of moving in that GitHub-y kind of direction, which is awesome because, I mean, we use GitHub at Litmus, and I know a lot of people are familiar with it, but not everybody's familiar with it, or it's not as accessible as something like this.
Yep.
And community is obviously free to join, free to use, and it's so easy to just go in, upload some snippets, use other people's snippets, save it to build or whatever, you know. So yeah, I think it's really kind of democratizing that whole code sharing experience for everybody, which is awesome. I'm really excited to see what people actually start dumping in here. There's already a ton of stuff up there. A couple of weird little things I've never seen before, which is awesome. So yeah, I'm excited to see what people start putting in there.
All right, we're going to be getting into Office 365 and making emails a little bit more accessible here, but we just want to take a minute to tell you, you can check out all of the episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. Everything we discuss, so all these hacks, articles we talk about, all the links are going to be right there for every episode. Be sure to tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast. Jason and I will hit you up there. Any questions, comments, concerns, just interact with us. We love email geek fans. So check us out there on Twitter. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Also, leave some good reviews on iTunes. There's only a couple of good reviews up there right now. So if you have good stuff, let us know. If you have bad stuff, hey, just tweet us mm-hmm. there. Nice deal. And we have a great special offer and deal for you. If you go to litmus.com/gift card, you can input the coupon code podcast and get a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Litmus is really the greatest email testing platform ever made. I mean, I don't know what I would do without Litmus, Jason, not only just because I'm an employee and we work there, but just literally day-to-day job. It's just such the biggest lifesaver. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, just to talk about a sneak preview of the things that are coming down the pipe yeah. for the new features we have, it really is the fastest way to test your email to make sure it looks great in over 40 different email clients, you know, making sure it looks great before you go and press that send button, eliminating that fear. Mm-hmm. That's what it really does. So, you know, you can see what it looks like in Gmail, Outlook, iPhone, Android, all this stuff. Make sure it looks great before you send it out. And nobody's going to get on you for having broken emails mm-hmm. anymore as an email designer and developer. So it takes away that fear, which is really great. So go to litmus.com/gift card, input the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus, and be sure to tweet at Litmus App with a little thank you for that special offer, because we just did it without even asking. They're just awesome like that.
Cool. Coming back to it, some more talk of Outlook. And specifically when it comes to Office 365, We've reported a couple of times about it, some of the updates they've been making and some of the Microsoft's plans for Office 365. So we kind of wanted to revisit some of this stuff, most notably image blocking in regards to Office 365, and how there's ways around image blocking. If you've been doing email for a while, you're probably familiar with the fact that almost every Outlook experience blocks images by default, including Office 365 and their web properties, which means that your images won't display to your subscribers. But we actually discovered that there's in Office 365, there's a way to kind of get around that by using background images, specifically with the HTML attribute for the background image and not the CSS style property, because of how Microsoft parses your code. So if you're using images, it changes the image source to blocked image source, which means it won't display, but it doesn't do anything to those background images so that you can still have those background images displayed even when those images are turned off, which is a pretty interesting little hack. You can do some interesting things with it. And it's pretty important because we reported a while ago that Office 365 is going to be taking over and handling the back end, the infrastructure behind Outlook.com. So we could see this being used more frequently for email designers that want their images always displayed regardless of a user setting.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be one of those things where we need to change everything to background images to get around this. I don't think that's the point of this, but I think it's we call attention to this because it's important to note. We always talk about how important images off design is and considerations for that. And now if you do use the background HTML element for your background images, you will sort of get this hybrid view for images off in Office 365 now, or I don't even like calling it. I just like calling it OWA because as you said, that's what they're moving to for their online processor for everything now. So I think it's just important to note that, you know, those images will show even with images off. So it's important to know when you're doing your images off design in those clients. And that's when it's really just something important because you're going to get this hybrid view that you wouldn't get in all the other clients where images are off per se. And yeah, just as a reference, again, it doesn't really support background CSS properties of any kind. So there isn't anything creative you can do there, which is why I think it's a bit limiting because I personally don't like using the background HTML attribute for background images. It's very inflexible. So again, I don't think it'll be a major thing, but it's just important to note that that's a change from the rendering standpoint of Office 365.
Yeah, I think it's another tool we can use if we need it. But doing that too, you kind of lose out on some of the alt text kind of magic that you can actually come up with. I personally love looking at people's alt text and seeing what their emails look like with blocked images. So if you're doing this, you're going to lose out on doing some fun stuff, some pixel art, stuff like that. But yeah, check it out. Use it if you need to. And yeah, we'll see what happens. Cool. Our last story of the episode. This one's interesting. It's about how to make your emails Apple Siri proof. So this was poured over on Email Audience by Ronald and Jordy. They ran some of their emails through Siri, Siri's voiceover functionality, to see how that would actually be talked out to somebody that might have some sort of disability where they can't actually see an email. A lot of people use voiceover stuff to make their computers, their devices more accessible. So they wanted to see how emails actually played out with Siri reading them. Some pretty amusing results, actually. They ran an email from the Washington Post and one from Amazon through Siri. And in both cases, it was pretty much a nightmare. The Washington Post email read out an entire URL that was very long, very complicated, and made no sense whatsoever if you're just listening to it. And Amazon did pretty much the same thing, had some really weird output from Siri. But they went through and figured out a way to actually make your emails a little bit more accessible for people using Siri to read their emails, which essentially boils down to, it's almost like pre-header text. By using a hidden little block of text that you can have Siri read that text instead of the content of your email. So they actually tried that out, got it working, and it's a really interesting solution. I don't think that's a common scenario for a lot of people in email, or something that a lot of people aren't worrying about yet. But it's good to know that there's some sort of solution out there like this. There's people kind of tackling this situation and trying to make things. It's not really a proper like web accessibility way of making things accessible, but it's an interesting way to make your emails a little bit more accessible for people using Siri to read emails.
Yeah, and it's a very, very important topic mm-hmm. that email designers and developers, we really need to try to progress.
Yeah.
This whole entire medium as much as we can in this area. Understood, we understand that we're a bit limited here, but we still need to try to do as much as we possibly mm-hmm. can with accessibility. And it's just something that's not talked a whole lot about right now. Paul Airey, Beyond the Envelope, actually gave a great talk at the Email Design Conference in London about making your emails a whole lot more accessible, which I highly recommend people check out when the talk comes out. But this is great. Yeah, I mean, this is essentially hidden pre-header text and using this method. And I think it really gives more, I don't know what the word is, but it gives more weight to using hidden pre-header text as a mm-hmm. method, because you might want to use something that's a bit longer that is more Siri-proof to read for an introduction of an email than whatever your HTML content mm-hmm. might be. You know, especially if you are using visible pre-header text, you know, might be view online or this or yep. that, right? This actually gives sort of a better, stronger use case for the way this implementation is, which, as mm-hmm. you said, isn't necessarily the most standard from a code perspective, but in terms of making things accessible, it's much easier to read for Siri. And it's definitely something that we've talked about including in for sort of email pre-checks here at Litmus. It's mm-hmm. just including a little audio recording of Siri. So you might see that in the future at some point, yeah. which is really interesting. But yeah, it's just something, it's something really easy for you to check as well. So highly recommend you at least have this in mind. It doesn't really take a lot or really impact the rendering or anything mm-hmm. like that. But it's just something to consider as you build out the strategy for every single email that you send out, just adding in this little wrinkle to make things a little bit more accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting how they actually have like specific length that Siri reads. It's about 25 seconds of text. So yeah, even if you do have pre-header text and it's readable and it's nice and stuff, you're going to have 25 seconds to account for in your emails. So it'll move on from that pre-header text pretty damn quickly and start reading all of your links and whatever else you have in the body of your email. So yeah, using this method makes that a little bit easier, a little bit better, and you can actually dictate what Siri is going to read out loud. We'll put the article up in the show notes for the podcast episode. You can check out there, see the code, and use it as necessary.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Email Design Podcast. Reminder, check out emaildesignpodcast.com for all the show notes and links, as Jason discussed, all full episodes. Catch up on all the history there. Be sure to tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. Any questions, if you'd like us to see or talk about something right here on the show, we'd love your feedback and input. And be sure to download the podcast and subscribe to it on SoundCloud and iTunes. And don't forget, free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast. All right, until next time, email geeks reminding you to keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line. We'll be right back.